This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for all your unwanted smells from pets, cooking, damp basements, smoke, whatever. You need the Thunderstorm. Buy the 3-pack now and use a couple for yourself and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie3. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today. I just have a few updates for you. Elizabeth Warren is tweeting out how exploiting vulnerable people for political stunts is repulsive and cruel. Massachusetts is fully capable of handling asylum seekers. She goes on to say how she's going to work with local, state, and federal partners to ensure we have the necessary resources to care for people with dignity. To which Carol Markowitz replied, "So everybody is happy. This is a winning solution. I've never seen so many people so mad about something they say they're happy about." Yeah, and also, as Jared pointed out, Visit Martha's Vineyard is tweeting that they have updates on the humanitarian crisis, and I have to read you this reply from Stephen Miller. He said, "If 50 migrants is a humanitarian crisis, boy, have I got some news you guys are going to want to hear." Yeah, has anyone checked in on Texas? CNN's already sent a reporter to the border, to Martha's Vineyard, by the way, to report on this humanitarian crisis.
I'm sure CNN had plenty of reporters in Martha's Vineyard.
You can't get them to go to the border in Texas unless AOC is there in a white pantsuit or unless they think that Trump's putting babies in cages. But if they hear that illegal aliens have been dropped off in Martha's Vineyard, hold the phone. They're sending their best and brightest. Joining us now is one of my favorite reporters, Ben Weingarten. You can read his work at The Federalist, Newsweek, his Substack. There's so many places you can get him. Ben, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Grace. It's always a pleasure.
Ben, first, before we get into some of these questions I have for you, both about Mike Lindell and his cell phone being seized and the police state that we're now living in, I want to get your reaction to what's happening as far as illegal aliens being not just brought to Martha's Vineyard, but also brought to the house of the residents of Kamala Harris in D.C.
Well, I think that this is what justice looks like. These are Democrats run states and cities, which in many cases themselves purport to be sanctuaries for those who break the law as their first act setting foot on American soil. This is the policy the administration they supported has encouraged and enabled. And so consequently, they ought to deal with the consequences directly. And I think we should extend this, by the way, when we talk about Martha's Vineyard, I think that we should be putting different power stations in their front lawns as well, wind power towers up in the front lawns, you know, on oceanfront properties. And remember, of course, you know, that was fought tooth and nail, I believe, up in Martha's Vineyard. But they ought to live by their own words, by their own policies. Why should Americans who disagree with these policies have to deal with the consequences of their lawlessness, the lawlessness that they promote, rather than the people who are promoting it themselves? This is justice.
Absolutely. Now, I'm speaking with Ben Weingarten, and I have to get your take, Ben, and your reaction to this quote. You write a lot about the school board meetings, about the weaponization of the DOJ, and how, really, if you disagree with the regime in any way, if you commit any sort of wrongthink, then you might be find yourself getting a knock at the door from the FBI. You might find your things being taken away, your home being raided. And Representative Hank Johnson decided to weigh in on these school board meetings, and I could not believe his take. I want to play this, Ben, and then we'll get your reaction. This is Hank Johnson, Cut 17.
A day that we'll never forget. And people on the local level at affected school board meetings, they won't forget the MAGA Republicans descending on their school board meetings after January 6th, like January 6th, disrupting meetings. It was a coordinated attack happening across the country. Americans won't forget about it.
Ben, what do you respond to that?
Well, first, just as a factual matter, this is really bad politics from Hank Johnson, if for no other reason that it's not just quote-unquote MAGA Republicans who are livid about what has happened in America's public schools. It's Democrats all across the country who have rebelled in places like San Francisco. It's not just in, you know, Virginia, a purple state, or more red states, but it's out in San Francisco itself rebelling against their public school establishment officials. So it's terrible politics, but even leaving aside that part of the awfulness of the politics, what's revealed here in the assault on parents concerned about their kids either being indoctrinated in racial Marxism or on the draconian, anti-scientific, and probably medically harmful, frankly, policies that the schools imposed and that they're dealing with the consequences of as it reopened today, is the fact that the public school establishment should have full power over your children, not parents. And that is the Democrat agenda. It's implicit in their messages. In fact, Terry McAuliffe basically explicitly called that out, where he essentially said, you know, the school administrators ought to have power over your kids, not you. That is a losing message. It is an immoral message. It is a wrong message. And the fact then that parents are called terrorists because they ought to be most concerned about what their children are learning in their schools, the environment that they're subjected to, et cetera, is utterly outrageous. But it reveals so much about the left's view of the world. Your children belong to them. And how dare you try to get in the way of their indoctrination of your children?
Yeah, and speaking out against indoctrination is enough to be labeled an insurrectionist. And of course, the other reason that you could be labeled an insurrectionist in this country right now is if you speak out or if you have any questions about the 2020 election. Now, what a lot of people point out, Ben, is that Democrats have spoken out against elections in the past. They've questioned elections time and time again. And one of those people is Stacey Abrams. I noticed that this week she's now denying on The View that she ever questioned the legitimacy of her loss or that she ever refused to concede. Of course, we know that's not true. This is such a double standard, and it seems like questioning elections is something that comes in and out of fashion depending on who's doing it.
Well, if they didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have any at all. I think that's the best way that we can describe it. Of course, in 2000, in 2004, in 2016, and frankly, from 2016 through 2020, they denied the entire legitimacy of the 2016 election, the legitimacy of the duly elected president of the United States. And so basically, you know, whether an election is legitimate for the left is predicated on who won. That, at the end of the day, is the standard to which they adhere. They want to make sure that they can fortify elections in their own words, which is why they work so doggedly to engage in lawfare and a whole raft of policies so far unmoored from the concept of a single election day in person where you have to show your signature and prove your ID. They want to get as far away as possible from that system. They did it in 2020. They've continued to push for essentially remote, as far remote voting as possible, which is as hard to check as possible, and therefore at least raises questions about the integrity of every election going forward. And so I think this is precisely in keeping with the idea that for them, the ends justify the means. They can lie about what transpired in the past with total impunity because they're all protected members of the ruling class in reality. And that's why, and the question that has to be asked every single time one gets attacked for being an insurrectionist, for having questions about the first mass mail-in election in American history on with the oddest counting that we've ever seen in election history before we go into the whole slew of legislative changes that were made going into it is, why do you have to brand people terrorists for asking questions about it? If it was so above board, why wouldn't you be open and honest and transparent about it rather than trying to destroy people's lives who have questions about the most peculiar election that we've ever witnessed? Even if you would say that it's entirely legitimate, you would still say there are more questions about it and legitimate questions about it than any other election we've ever witnessed.
Yeah, and I think a huge part of it is even if you think the voting was legitimate, which I know a lot of people do, there are still questions about big tech's involvement and how they you know, tilted the scales, and they've openly admitted that in the past. And now, I don't know if you saw this, Ben, but there's videos of John Fetterman that are out there that now NBC News is flagging as, you know, edited, and they're kind of like running cover for all of these politicians. And we saw this again with the White House asking Twitter to take down Alex Berenson. Big tech and Big Brother have a lot to do with this. And even if you have faith in the integrity of our voting, there's still an element of we're not on a level playing field when you have these massive companies deciding what news gets out and what news gets suppressed.
Well, and there's testimony and ample documentation indicating that the big tech companies can and arguably have swung elections with their power. Everyone has seen the polls showing, you know, had you known what was on Hunter Biden's laptop and the veracity of it prior to the election, would that have changed your vote? And there are massive percentages of people who claim they would have changed their vote. Consequently, before we even get into Zuckerbucks and all the other kind of nefarious ways in which the playing field was tilted, and what makes it even more disturbing and worse is that you have essentially, particularly in the case of the Hunter Biden laptop now, documented evidence of the fact that you had the FBI going out to big tech platforms like Facebook and saying you better be on the lookout for stuff just like Hunter Biden's laptop as an implicit, you better censor this information because, of course, it would threaten ultimately their favorite candidate going into the 2020 race. So you have the First Amendment being violated by proxy there, but you also have the regime protecting itself and influencing the election by claiming foreign disinformation when in fact it's actually truthful and imperative information for American voters to make informed decisions when they go in the ballot box.
Ben Weingarten, we love having you on. I wish I had more time. Please tell people where they can buy your book and where they can read all of your work.
Sure. You can find American Ingrate anywhere, including on Amazon, I guess, unfortunately. Follow me on Twitter at BH Weingarten, and for all my work, you can find it at my Substack, weingarten.substack.com.
It's a really great Substack. Everyone should check it out. Thank you very much, Ben. Hope to have you on again soon. The Democrat surveillance state is here. We talk about this all the time. 87,000 new armed. That's right, armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. Why does America need that? The liar said no new taxes on individuals making under $400K. We paid attention to the 400K and they slipped this in under our noses. They'll soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you've ever spent. Friends, this is no joke. This is for real. You traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg. Now you have to protect it. You need this now. You need Monetary Gold's new guide. It's called 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Call Monetary Gold now. There's no time to delay. 888-617-7994. Get 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. It's 888-617-7994. Time is of the essence. We will be right back with your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
One of the best pieces of advice Howie gave me a few months ago was take it easy on the Twitter. And most days I do, but today's one of those days where everyone has hot takes and everyone's breaking things down. And I know that in this conversation, it's easy to get really sarcastic and it's easy to come off as not compassionate and mean, and that's never the goal here. And I never want to come off like Kelly Osbourne. Remember that terrible cut where Kelly Osbourne, I'm not even going to go into it. Just Google it. That's exactly what I don't want to do. I understand these are people. I understand that everybody has a story. I understand that the circumstances are difficult for a lot of these people. I totally do get that. But I thought that Mark Hemingway put this in a really, really great way here, because there's a lot of like Bill Kristol's throwing out, oh, what Ron DeSantis is doing is so non-compassionate. He's not clothing the needy. He's not feeding the poor. He's doing the exact opposite. Like everyone's getting really, you think that the virtue signaling, they learned their lesson here, but instead they're getting even more virtuous as time goes on. And Mark Hemingway said, here's a PSA. It's also decidedly not compassionate or Christian to create a problem for your neighbors, ignore their pleas for help for decades, and then say they're the real hypocrites when they force you to shoulder the burden in a comparatively insignificant way. And that is the truth, is that 50 migrants compared to what the people in El Paso have been dealing with is nada. You're not going to get a lot of sympathy from the people on those border towns. Charlotte, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Charlotte.
Hi, thank you for taking this call. But I just had one question. One of the illegal invaders in Martha's Vineyard was interviewed, and I believe it was a woman who said that, oh, she just wanted to get some housing and she wanted to get a job. How do you get a job without a green card, a Social Security number, or do you work under the table like the rest of your cohorts and collect welfare too? How does that happen? Tell me how any of these people are going to get a job. That's my question.
I don't know, Charlotte. I do think that there's probably, legally, there's a lot of issues with that. I don't know, but we do have sound from Fox News. They were speaking with one of the migrants in Martha's Vineyard. This is cut 32.
Do you believe that President Biden has made it possible for you to come here, and what would you like to say to President Biden?
My gratitude to the president and all the members of the government.
My gratitude towards the president, because Joe Biden is, Michel Sinder told us way back when, he's compassionate. And you want to hear something crazy. This to me is the craziest. So we've got Karine Jean-Pierre is out there today trying to deflect, trying to play the blame game. It's never the fault of the Biden administration. You know, none of this is his problem. It's Greg Abbott's fault. It's Ron DeSantis's fault. It's the people in Florida's fault. It's anyone who voted for Donald Trump's fault. It's your fault for listening to my show. It's just not Biden's fault. And while trying to explain this, she had some whoppers, Jared. Do you have these? These are on Howie's Twitter. Okay, I want to start with, hold on here. Let me choose the one. Let's go to the work. They're doing the work. Go ahead, play that one.
The busing aside, how do you explain this influx?
Well, again, we understand that we have work to do. We understand that, and we have been doing the work to do that. We have taken unprecedented action over the past year and a half to secure our border and rebuild a safer and orderly process system.
Okay, but I think my favorite is cut 35.
They should ask Texas Governor Ted Cruz and Florida Senators Marco Rubio and Rick Scott.
Can I get a fact check? Can
that is false.
Can Glenn Kessler or Daniel Dale help me out here? Did Ted Cruz become the governor and I didn't hear about this? I would have thought there'd be outrage. He goes to Cancun and then he becomes the governor? That doesn't seem right to me.
Oh, that Ted's always up to something.
And then what about 36? This is, again, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre answering questions about illegal aliens being flown to Martha's Vineyard and driven outside of Kamala Harris's home in D.C. This is cut 36.
They deserve better than being left on the streets of D.C. or being left in Martha's Vineyard. They deserve a lot better than that.
They do deserve better than that. They deserve to know that if they come here, that the border is closed. But unfortunately, we have an incompetent old man running this country who's never made that clear. In fact, Karine Jean-Pierre, I would inform you that not only has Joe Biden done a terrible job setting up the border, setting up boundaries, letting people know that there will be consequences if you cross the border illegally. Beyond that, during one of the debates, he told people to surge the border. And that's exactly what happened. So they do deserve better. I think all those children who died because they were brought in by coyotes or dropped off from the wall or drowned in the Rio Grande, I think all of those children deserve better. I think how many was it? Was it 64 people who sweltered to death in a truck in San Antonio because they were being smuggled in the back of a truck and they died because it was so hot? I think they deserve better. I think the people who are now being put inside refrigerators because there's no room at the morgues, I think they deserve better. But I'm not about to blame Ron DeSantis for that. I'm not about to blame Ted Cruz, who's apparently the governor of Texas, for that. I'm going to blame Joe Biden for that, because he said he was going to come in here and he was going to be the best man for the job. And this is what we're dealing with. So enough of the blame game. I don't think it's Putin's fault. I don't think it's transitory. I don't think it's Trump's fault. I don't think it's Ted Cruz's fault. I think it's your fault. I think it's Biden's fault. We'll keep going with this, and we'll talk about Hunter Biden when we come back. So much more to get to today. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Whose response to the Martha's Vineyard illegal drop was the most unhinged? The View, John Berman and Ken Burns, or Eli Mistal?
I'm sticking with John Berman and Ken Burns on CNN, drawing parallels from the two planes full of illegal aliens landing in Martha's Vineyard to the Holocaust.
John Berman and Ken Burns still only polling at 21%. 74% say The View and 5% for Eli Mistal.
Jared, before I move on from this for just a little bit, I sent you one more tweet to Howie's from Karine Jean-Pierre, because I love how the reporters are framing this. Like, they don't say the border's not secure. Do you want to respond to it? Instead, they keep propping up this false narrative from Kamala Harris, from KJP, where they'll say, well, drownings are up, crossings are up, deaths are up, fentanyl's up. Do you think the border is secure? Like, they haven't put the last piece together, if that makes sense. Like, no, everything you just said goes against the second part of your question. So you should reframe it. Let's take a listen.
On the situation along the border, crossings are up. Drownings along the border are increasing. We've been to one town recently where the morgue is overwhelmed by migrant deaths. Are you confident, and do you feel that the situation at the border is under control? Are you doing enough?
So what we have been doing is doing the work that wasn't done by the last administration. We are fixing a broken system. It is not like turning the light switch on. It is going to take some time.
Oh my gosh.
But I'll say this, more individuals encountered at the border will be removed or expelled this year than in any previous year. That is something of the work that the DHS has been doing.
Because it's up 325%. I cannot believe. I can believe that they're so shameless that they're going to try to pin this on Trump. But it really is, even for them, even for the ineptitude we've seen from this administration, it is breathtaking. I haven't used that word in a long time, Jared. I saved it.
That was a good save.
I saved it for today.
Notice the reporter, too, along the border.
I just, and I love the Massachusetts state rep, Dylan Fernandez. He described this as evil and inhumane to use human lives, men, women, and children as political pawns. What do you think the left has been using illegal aliens for the last few decades? And why is it okay for certain border towns to deal with this for decades and nobody cares? No one from CNN is standing there talking about a humanitarian crisis. In fact, AP was telling their reporters, don't call it a crisis. Use other words to describe it. Remember Jen Psaki? Remember Jen? She'd say, oh, we're not going to call it a crisis. We don't want to call it a crisis. It went from kids in cages to children in overflow migrant facilities that kind of look like boxes.
It was a border challenge.
It was a border challenge. It was a situation. And now they've got people on MV with their hair on fire like they're Charlie Parker looking at the Orange Line saying this is a humanitarian crisis because there's 50 migrants there. If I'm in Texas, I'm like, oh my gosh, wait till you guys see what's going on here. Now, we got your attention for a few seconds, right, CNN? So why don't you come and visit us and check out what's going on? No, they have no interest in that. It's just, it's... And I try so hard to really be sensitive to it and to not say anything that's going to come off too harsh. But when you look at it, it's just amazing. It's amazing that there's any argument against the position that this is fair. This is absolutely fair. If you want to burden your neighbors for decades with something that you deny is even a problem, they were in full denial, just like inflation didn't exist. People were coming here and then they were going to leave. This was not the last stop. It was transitory. And you want to vilify the Border Patrol and you want to demean the people who have to deal with this, the strain on their towns, on their resources. And you want to dismiss it like it's no big deal, like they're exaggerating, like, oh, they're overreacting. And then you get 50 migrants and you freak out. You're a phony. You're a phony. You're a limousine liberal. You don't care more than I do. You're not more compassionate than I am. Why? Because you vote for Joe Biden? Why? Because you have a coexist bumper on the back of your car? Why? Because you have a hate has no home here lawn sign? It's useless, obviously. Now would be the time. You get asked one time to show us the compassion you're constantly bragging about. That your whole personality is based around is that you're nicer than me, right? Isn't that what your whole personality, your whole self-worth is, that you're nicer than Republicans? You care more. You're more compassionate. You have a soul. Well, where is it? Because let me just add one more thing here. If caring for people who cross the border and taking them in shows compassion and shows Christianity, according to these liberals. The only time they want to talk about Christianity is when they're accusing Republicans of being hypocrites. Then by that logic, Texas has done above and beyond what could be expected of them. And in fact, now it's your time to show how compassionate you are. I know you got the Ukraine flag in your Facebook avatar. I know that you read an anti-Trump book at the Edgartown Book Club yesterday, and it made you all feel really good about yourselves. And I know you talked about the mean tweets, and I know that Trump just disgusts you, and I know you put up the infographic on your Instagram about how evil Ron DeSantis is. But guess what? Now's the time to do something more, okay? No more virtue signaling. You don't need to signal that you have virtue. Now you get to show us that you have virtue, that you're virtuous, that you care. So don't complain. I don't want to hear about these letters and the humanitarian crisis. No, 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 no. This is the only way, clearly, to wake people up from this, to show people how dysfunctional this country has become. Okay, we will continue to take your calls. I see some people on the lines, but I just want to get one story out of the way here, and it is about Hunter Biden. In case you didn't know this, this is from the New York Post. President Biden's son, who's 52, has asked an Arkansas judge to recalculate the child support payments he makes to Lyndon Roberts, who's the mother of the daughter he's never met. Hunter cited a substantial material change in his financial circumstances, including but not limited to his income, for the reason behind his request. Now, the part of this I find interesting is that Lyndon Roberts, her attorney, spoke about this. And he said, ultimately, and now if I'm Hunter Biden, I know Hunter, you know, he's very confident that all his investigations are going to turn out okay. Don't ask me how he has that confidence. There's something he thinks is going to go in his direction. Ultimately, this is what Lyndon Roberts' attorney said. Ultimately, this is going to require us to look deeply, more deeply, into Hunter's finances. I'm going to want to have a deposition with Mr. Biden. Like last time, I'm going to bring my forensic accountant to the deposition unless the judge tells me I can't. I think that this could be very interesting. Hunter's claims of financial woes comes after he published a tell-all memoir in April last year that detailed his drug and sex-fueled past. Yeah, I don't think this is a smart play by Hunter. If I were Hunter, based off Lyndon Roberts, his ex, I don't even know if they ever even dated. I would just pay whatever it is. I wouldn't go, this is not the time I would cheap out when this woman and her lawyer are going to want to go through all your finances. Unless they're squeaky clean, which they could be. You're in the art business. You're an author. You're a car guy. I wouldn't poke the bear in this case, but that's just me. What do I know? 844-500-4242. As I mentioned earlier, Don Lemon, big shakeup at CNN. There were reports that maybe Don Lemon would be fired, but instead, he's being moved to the morning show. CNN they've been switching around this lineup for a very long time. Nothing seems to work. They brought in Brianna Keeler to New Day, and they moved out Allison Camerota. They thought that was going to be the ratings gold they needed. Did not work. So now what they're doing is Don Lemon will be joining Poppy Harlow and Caitlin Collins in a yet unnamed new morning news program that will debut later this year.
Is that going to replace their current morning New Day, or is this going to be,
I don't know,
like in addition to?
I don't know. I think we're going to see a whole new slew of programming. I think it's all going to be mixed up. I don't think Chris Licht is happy, and no one can figure it out. I told you that, Jared, right? This is an enigma to them. Sources at CNN are saying, we can't figure out why some people get fired and some people don't. And I said, listen, I'm not Sherlock Holmes, but have you ever heard of this thing called ratings? You guys might want to check it out. It might be like a map that will lead you in the direction of who's going to get fired next. Adam, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Grace, thank you. You know, it's just amazing to me. It's like watching this slow motion disaster that's happening in the U.S. and the ship is sinking. The Democrats, I mean, it's beyond belief what they're trying to do. I mean, first of all, the arrogance of trying to think they can change the weather. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, if you look at history and you look at the polls, how they move, weather changes all the time. That's how it's being done. But they're saying, oh, we can change that. How stupid and ignorant is that? It's just not going to happen. And then this big thing about, oh, we're all going to have electric cars. Isn't that going to be wonderful? No, it's not. It's going to take more trashing of the earth to do that than they possibly could think of. And also, guess what? Electricity prices will just go up. It'll probably be the same to run your electric car as it costs a regular gasoline car. I'm just flabbergasted at this whole ignorance. It's just like they're going down a hole and the ship is sinking, but they're going to spend more money. And the last thing I'd like to say, Grace, I'm British by birth, and even though I haven't lived in America, I haven't lived in the UK for like 60 years, I do want to say something nice about the Queen. She was a wonderful lady, and it's quite frankly, it was a big shock, even though she was 96 or so. To me and to everybody else, it seems like she was there forever, and now she's no longer there. So it's kind of sad. So God bless her. Thanks for your time, Grace. Have a blessed day.
Yes, I agree. Rest in peace to the Queen. I know the funeral services are still going on. They'll be going on for a long time. I think Joe Biden's not going out there for another 5 days. And yeah, I was sad. I was a fan of the Queen. If anyone is looking for a little bit of content to watch that could, you know, that's, I shouldn't say fun to watch, but it's an enjoyable thing to watch right now. The Queen with Helen Mirren is a great movie. It goes over like the 6 days after Princess Diana died. One thing I wanted to say to that last caller, though, Adam, is that all of these things, whether it be, you know, electric vehicles or illegal immigration or, you know, school shutdowns or whatever it is, it doesn't have to make any sense. It doesn't have to make sense financially, logically, scientifically. It makes liberals feel good. And that's the world we now live in. We're just giving the ice cream to the toddler so they don't have a tantrum, so they don't have a complete meltdown. It doesn't matter if it makes sense. It all makes them feel good. It makes them feel important. It makes them feel virtuous. And that's all they care about is their feelings. Billy, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Billy.
Hello, Grace. So thanks for taking my call. I work in a very, very liberal city, right? And a guy came up to me that has a place down the Cape. And he goes, did you hear what happened today? I said, no. Ron DeSantis sent all those illegals in there. That stupid son of a bitch, Ron DeSantis. I couldn't say anything. I was laughing. I loved it. I hope all the governors do the same thing to these lovable people. You know what I mean? The most caring people.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of governors are getting the ideas in their heads and they're thinking about it. One thing I did want to play here, and thank you for the call, Billy. Before we go, I have to play Senator Mark Kelly because Arizona is coming into the mix here a lot. The governor in Arizona is doing the same thing. He's sending illegals, I think, to Chicago. But Senator Mark Kelly's in a jam because he's a Democrat and he doesn't know what to do about the fact that Joe Biden's extremely unpopular and it puts him in a tight situation. Like, does he support Joe? Does he not? All he's doing right now, he's making the worst decision, which is just, let me just squirm every time I'm asked a question. This is cut one.
Your thoughts on his job? Has he done a good job, do you think?
Hey, first of all, it's not my job to give him a report card.
Ooh. Throw in a Fauci. And that could be a sound cut for the ages. Yikes. And that's how all Democrats feel right now. Because no one can justify what's happening at the White House. 844-500-4242. Howie's going to have a ton of sound from Karine Jean-Pierre. She's doing a press conference right now. We will be back with the captain, so don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is time for the car crossover, and it's brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, offering simple cash. Toyota of Portsmouth will buy your current vehicle with no obligation to buy from them. They want your vehicle any make or model. More info at toyotaofportsmouth.com. Howie and I will be at Toyota of Portsmouth tomorrow from 12 to 6 doing our show there. There'll be food from the Wenton Grill. Are we going to have stuff for sale, Howie?
Yes, we are. We're going to have t-shirts for sale, and Caroline Levitt will be there as well.
It's gonna,
from like 2 to 3:15 or somewhere, somewhere in the 2 to 3 o'clock hours.
Which is great for me. So, yeah, definitely swing on by Toyota.
And if you haven't met Caroline, this is a good chance to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a very impressive Gen Zer. And I think you'll really like her. So make sure you stop on by tomorrow. Howie, obviously there is a lot to talk about today. This is something that you have been floating, this idea of sending illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard
Just last week I was lamenting that there is no bridge. And one of the texters pointed out that they have a freight ferry going over from Woods Hole every day. I mean, you know, why don't they run that? And they could put buses on there. But, you know, brilliantly, Governor DeSantis cut out the middleman, the Steamship Authority, and just airlifted him in.
Howie,
it's a humanitarian crisis. You know, they claim they're very happy, but Visit Martha's Vineyard tweet site called it a humanitarian crisis.
Yeah, it's strange, and it's very strange to see these same people who have talked about being sanctuary cities and welcoming people with open arms. Now they're very upset with Ron DeSantis. He's getting all the blame. None of this blame seems to go back to the root of the problem, which I think is Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
Yes, we didn't have this humanitarian crisis when Orange Man Bad was president.
That's because he was so mean, Howie. That's because he was so mean that nobody wanted to come here because he was such a mean, mean man.
Yeah, you know, I saw one of the illegal aliens today was on Channel 7 thanking Joe Biden. How about thanking me? I'm a taxpayer in the state of Massachusetts. How about thanking you, Grace? We're the ones that are picking up the tab for their permanent vacation.
And also, there were illegal aliens who were bussed outside of Kamala Harris's residence in D.C., and she's the same person who told us over and over again that the border is secure. So they want to have everything both ways. The border's secure, but there's busloads of illegal aliens showing up at her front steps. How does that make any sense?
It doesn't make any sense. So they're having a conference today at the White House on white supremacy, because that's really the big problem in the U.S.
Priorities. That's what this administration is known for. All right, everyone. Have a great Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow. Visit us at Toyota of Portsmouth from 12 to 6. And don't miss Howie's show. I think he's got enough material for today. We'll be right back.